Good morning, church. Request number one, don't sleep. If you sleep, I'll wake you up. Request number two, please listen carefully to the preaching of the Word of God and follow with me as we continue our study in the Gospel according to Matthew. And we are in chapter number 4. We're reading from verse 12 to verse 17. Matthew 4, verse 12 to verse 17. And the title of this message this morning, Jesus Begins His Ministry. And I will read from the ESV. On the Pew Bibles, it will be on page 809. It reads as follows. Now when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled: the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truths upon our hearts. Having considered the temptation and the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ, we move now to the beginning of his public ministry. And once again, Matthew points out to us this morning that this is the Messiah who was to come into the world. The Messiah was to come and establish a kingdom of God. His ministry points us back to the Old Testament anticipation of the latter times, where the light will dawn, where the consolation of Israel will come to set the peoples free from captivity, peoples free from spiritual captivity and sin. So Jesus' victory in the wilderness sets in motion the advance of God's rule in the world. You look at this passage this morning, you realize the similarities of the situation that these people are in with the situation that we are in today. John the Baptist is arrested because he stood for what was right. He condemned King Herod's relationship with Herod's sister-in-law. You will see that when we get to chapter number 14, that John the Baptist had to condemn that unrighteous, unlawful relationship. And then because of speaking that truth, he got himself arrested and he was put into prison. There you see a picture of the persecution and hatred of those who faithfully preaches the word of God. In verse 13, the Bible tells us that Jesus leaves Nazareth and he goes to live in Capernaum. He goes to a place where people are sitting in darkness. We begin to see Jesus in action. Remember the last time we saw Jesus, he was in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. But today we begin to see Jesus in action. He begins his ministry through preaching. And that is so relevant to us this morning, brothers and sisters, since we are also at the foundation phase of our ministry. So if Jesus will go out to the people in darkness and preach, so that teaches us, we can see in that the thing that we also have to do for this church to be full, for this church to have a people who will know God. We need to go to a people in darkness and preach the gospel. It is so relevant to us. So there are three fundamental truths I want us to draw from the beginning of Jesus' ministry this morning to answer the why. We know that the reason why Jesus will begin his ministry, the very reason why Jesus came into this world. But there are three fundamental truths that shines out of this text this morning, why will Jesus begin his ministry, especially in this area, in this place where the Bible tells us he went to, the area of the Galilee of the Gentiles. First, it is because man is in darkness. Note that one down. Man is in darkness. It calls for Jesus to begin a ministry because no one else can go as he is going to the darkness. Man is in darkness. Let's read again from verse 15 and verse 16. It says, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles." Verse 16. "The people dwelling in darkness." That is the part we're going to consider first. People dwelling in darkness. So Jesus begins his ministry from the Galilee of the Gentiles, from the Galilee of the nations, a place which had in it people of other nations, people of other tribes outside the Jews. People besides the Jews, they were there, where he will preach the kingdom of God, where he will preach, and consequently the Gentiles will also be enlightened and be saved, so that the world may see that God's plan is to save a people for himself from every tribe and every nation. In verse number 14, Matthew tells us that this happens as a fulfillment of prophecy, which is found in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. It says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, "But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former times, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time," please note, "in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea and the land beyond Jordan, Galilee of the nations." This prophecy tells us that God is going to do something in the latter time. Remember, this is written 780 years before the coming of Jesus. It's already recorded that in the latter time. So Jesus is coming, or Jesus' beginning of his ministry signifies latter times or later days, the last days. So this is God's promise that on the latter time, someone will come and go into the darkness in the land of Zebulun, in the land of Naphtali, in the Galilee of the Gentiles, into the place of darkness. There we see a promise of the latter time, brothers and sisters. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of deep darkness, on them has light dawned. They dwell in darkness. These are people who have sinned against God. People whom God has brought up out of the land of Egypt. People who have been brought out of slavery. But they had feared other gods. Why are they in darkness? They have feared other gods. What do I mean by that? They began to respect other gods rather than the God of heaven. And they began to walk in the customs of the nations around them, learning from the people of the world how to do things. Customs of the world. Customs of the nation whom God the Lord drove out before them. These are people who did secretly those things which God did not like. They did them secretly. These are kind of people who will look on the outside as though they are the people of God, but in the secrets of their place, of their homes, they will do things which God do not approve of. These are people who are playing it both sides, doing the things not right against the God, their Lord. And then God gave them over to other nations. That is why now they are here in the land of Naphtali, the land of Zebulun, because they have sinned and rebelled against God. These are people supposed to be enjoying the blessings of God, but they're no longer enjoying the blessings of God because they are in darkness. God give them over to other nations. But now a glorious God comes to them. He comes to confront them with the gospel. That is what God does. He goes to the darkness to confront a people in darkness with the gospel. He comes to them to preach it to them, to proclaim a message to them, to declare the truth to them, to evangelize them, to tell them of the good news of the kingdom of God. Simply because these people are sitting in darkness and they are blinded by Satan. These people are outside the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are in physical and spiritual desolation. That's what it means. They are in darkness. Man is in darkness, separated from God. Because of man's sin and man's rebellion towards God, now they find themselves in such a place. They are surrounded by pagans and they practice what other nations practice. They practice things in contrary to the will of God. If you do practice anything that is in contrary to the will of God, you are in darkness. That is what this is all about. If it was these days, they will be sitting under false Christianity and other religions of this world. And they will be sitting in ignorance of their condition. When you tell them you are not right with God, they will argue with you that I am a good person. I am trying my best. People sitting in darkness, they've got answers for everything, claiming to be right with God when they are not right with God, taking religion as a means of entering into heaven rather than looking at the cross, at the blood of Christ, which takes away the sins of the world, boasting in the things that they can do for themselves rather than the thing that God should do for them. These are people happy to sit in their sins. They love darkness because their deeds are evil. They love darkness because none of them seeks for God and no one understands among them. They are in darkness. This is the picture of men, my friends, everywhere. This is not just talking about the people in which Jesus goes to, the people he draws to in Capernaum. This is a picture of the whole world. People sitting in darkness, requiring the Son of God to come into darkness. These are people who have sinned grievously against God and they are trapped now in darkness. That is what sin does. Traps people in darkness, where there's no help, in darkness, where no one wants to help anyone, where is every man for himself, where egos and pride are so high. In darkness, that's where people sit, under the authority and the domain of Satan. They live as though this life is all that there is. They live as though they are ready to meet their Maker, yet they are not, which is why Jesus goes where the lost is. Can we learn from Jesus? He goes where the lost is. He doesn't wait for the lost to come to him. Why? Simply because the lost will never come to Jesus. But Jesus draws to the lost. He begins to preach to them. He tells them the good news of the kingdom of heaven. He tells them the good news of the kingdom of God. He says to them, we have sinned against God. We are in enmity with God. But he loves you so much, regardless of what you are, regardless of who you are, regardless of where you are. His love is unchanging. He promised to come and save you while you are in your sin. God revealed his love to you. While you are in your sin, God revealed himself to you. He loved the world so much that he gave with his only begotten Son so that whosoever believes, whosoever sits in darkness may not perish but have eternal life. That is Jesus Christ approaching the darkness, going to a place of desolation, of spiritual darkness, going to a people without hope. That is where the gospel must be taken to. Jesus goes out of his way to confront darkness and to save sinners, to set them free from the slavery of sin, to set them free from the bondage of Satan. He shows his love and grace to a people who cannot even do anything about their situation. People sitting in darkness under the shadow of death, people sitting in the shadow of judgment, people sitting in distress, people sitting in gloom, people sitting in anguish because of their failure to consider Jesus, because of their failure to look upon God. People sitting in darkness because of their ignorance of the true and the living God. These are people who made offerings to strange gods, and they did wicked things, provoking God to anger. That is what happens when people are in darkness, my friends. They do things that provokes God. Darkness leads men to provoke God. But here is the Son of God goes to this darkness, to people who are his enemies, people who does not love him, people who do not believe in God, people who despise his statues, people who despise his covenants, people who despise his love for them, people who despise the warning that God gives to them, people who follow the nations that are around them. They learn from the sinners how to conduct themselves in marriage. They learn from the sinners how to discipline their own children. They learn from sinners how to live their lives in this world while they have God who is in heaven. People in darkness, what they will do whenever there's a problem or anything bad happens, they will go to psychiatrists. Since they are in Holyven, what they will do, they will go to fortune tellers. They will never consider God. People in darkness, they always look for a way out, but the way out that is in contrary to the way to God. People in darkness, the world around us, they abandon all the commandments of the Lord. They make for themselves images for worship. They create a God of their own imagination, a God they can control, a God they can correct, because they believe that God somehow is wrong. People create a God of their own making, a God who must buy into the interpretation of man for the Bible. He must buy into man's interpretation of his own word. They will love to abort their children left, right, and center. They will love to stand on the streets and fight for their homosexual rights without shame. People in darkness. This world is full of people in darkness. This town, this township is full of people in darkness. People are standing for their rights. People who think what matters the most is economic freedom, while they are sinking and remaining as slaves of sin, sinking deeper than the grave. People in darkness. Friends, man is in darkness. They are separated from Christ, without whom there is no salvation. If you are separated from Jesus, what is your hope? They are alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, without the privilege of citizenship within the chosen community to whom God has revealed himself. And they are strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Can you imagine living without hope, living without God in this world? What kind of a life will that be? A life of darkness, a life of gloom, a life of anguish, a life of sorrow and pain. That is the picture that we see here. Jesus begins his ministry because that is what the world looks like. We stand here this morning because that is what the world looks like. But we are so privileged that God has drawn us from that garbage of sin and put us into his marvelous light. Because we ourselves were in that darkness, separated from him, have no relationship
with him, having a troubled future ahead of them, because though they have made images for worship, but they are without the knowledge of God and they are in deep darkness. But why will Jesus go to this place? Secondly, because Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light. We read in verse number 16 again. It says, "The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And those dwelling in the region and the shadow of death, listen, on them a light has dawned." In other words, the darkness has separated us from God, who is light, and there is no darkness in him. And we know that, friends, people in darkness do not desire to reach out to the light. People in darkness, they like to remain in darkness. They want darkness to cover their shame. They know they are in shame. That is why they will not go to the light, because the light will expose the shame. So they will rather sit in darkness. But here is Jesus Christ, the Lord, the King of glory. He goes as light to darkness, to expose the works of the devil. He goes as a light to the people sitting in darkness. So until the light comes from outside, there will be no hope for people in darkness. Look at it this way. A great picture that we see here. Jesus moves from Nazareth to Galilee. He moves from Nazareth to Capernaum. He moves from one area to another area. Of course, the Bible tells us that because John the Baptist was arrested, but Jesus Christ was not afraid that he will also be arrested. It is to fulfill prophecy. It is to show us that he goes to a place of need as light of the world. Jesus, the light of the world, he goes to a place. He comes from outside the darkness. You see, you cannot help darkness with darkness. There is no help for darkness in darkness. The help must come from outside, which is why our help came from outside. That is why even now we lift up our eyes unto outside, unto the hills where our help comes from. Our refuge is God, who is within us. But when we look at him, we look at him outside of us, because we cannot even contain him. These worlds cannot contain him. Our God is big. He's the light of the world. Jesus comes in as the light of the world. So, in other words, suddenly, as they are sitting there in gloom and anguish, as they are getting used to the darkness, boom, the light dawned. Can you imagine walking in a pitch black house, making your way through, trying to find your keys, so scared? But what scares the most is just when the light just goes boom. You get that shock in your heart, because you are getting used that the place is dark. But when the light comes, you get even more scared. So they had a spiritual shock now that the light of the world draws unto them. But that is good, because when the light of the world draws unto you, you have to have that spiritual shock. The darkness that is in you has to be aware that something new is happening. So suddenly, in that land of darkness, at the coming of Jesus, there is an uprising of a glorious light for the transformation of darkness. The light comes as a redeeming principle to man's apostate nature. Men are in apostasy, and their nature is an apostate nature, depraved. Man is in darkness, but suddenly a glorious light that shines, coming as a principle that redeems man. And we all know, my friend, that is the world we live in. People are without hope. People are living in fear of death. People are living in fear of diseases. People who sit in darkness also sit in the region of death. Please note that one. People in darkness are not just in darkness, they are also in the region of death, because they are dead in their trespasses and sin, and they have no spiritual light. And where there is no spiritual light, there is no spiritual life. But praise to God, our Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life in Christ is the light of man. That's what the Gospel of John tells us. The light came into darkness, and the darkness was never able to comprehend that light. Friends, the light is needed when people are sitting in the shadow of death. And by God's grace, Jesus is that light. And by God's grace, people in darkness can see or enjoy the benefits and the blessings of the light. Jesus is the light. But in the context here, I think it is very important to also realize that not only Jesus is the light. Not only Jesus is the light. In the context of this text that we have read, the gospel is the light. Not just Jesus is the light, but what is bringing to the people, because he's not just bringing himself, there's a message that he's bringing. The Bible says he began to preach. So what he is preaching, the gospel that he's bringing to them, is the light. So today people don't need to have Jesus walking down the streets. All that we need is the gospel to take away the darkness that it is in this world. Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is that which offers pardon for the guilty man. The people in the Galilee of the Gentiles will not produce a light for themselves. Jesus said to God, we have already covered that. In other words, they will not produce a light for themselves. People of Olivan cannot produce a light for themselves. Your brother and your sister, your friend, cannot produce a light for himself. Your cousin, your schoolmates, your work colleague, your boss, no one can produce a light for himself. No one can look within himself and find life. Jesus had to draw near to these people and preach light to these people. That is the power of the gospel of God. It is the light. It is the light. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed unto your word, O God. The light is the word of God. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the ways of sinners, but meditates on the word of God day and night. The gospel is the light of man. The light had to come into darkness, even though they despised the light. Jesus, the Son of God, comes as a light to them. Jesus, the Son of God, comes and preach a gospel which lighten up the dark hearts of men. Oh, what a great privilege, my friends, if Jesus will draw. What a great privilege, my friend, for you to sit here listening to the light. Because many in this area that we are looking at this morning, many in the place of Naphtali and Zebulun, many in Capernaum have died without the light. What a privilege for those who saw the light. What a privilege it was. What a privilege it is for us today, for knowing and seeing the light through the word of God. People die day and night. Our brother was praying this morning, say, accidents happen now and then, but we are kept. Friends, we are not kept because we are clever. We are kept because we need to come to the knowledge of the light, to understand the light of God that lightens up the hearts of men. Jesus, the gospel, is the light. So Jesus goes to those dwelling in darkness to expose the darkness by the power of the gospel without exception. Let me repeat. He did that without exception. He went to the Galilee of the Gentiles. Regardless of the fact that the Jews that he was going to preach to there, they were mixed with Gentiles. He went there without exception. Why? Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Why? Because not only the Jews need the gospel, not only the Jews provoked God. Every man provoked God in his sin. So whether young or old, poor or rich, short or tall, big or small, women or men, No one shall see God unless one believes the gospel of God. Unless one comes to the light, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. He draws. He comes near to darkness as light. And today, He speaks to us through His word as light. The light of the world. And I think that challenges us as the church this morning, my friends, to man up. It challenges us, the church, this morning to go out and seek that which is lost, to be engaged in evangelism, to shine our little lights as well, to tell the dying world of a living Savior, Jesus, the light of the world, to tell the people that they are in the shadow of death. They are in spiritual darkness. They are in bondage of Satan. They are under the divine judgment of God. But the light has dawned. They can come for themselves to see the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and receive eternal life. Friends, God sends the light into the world because God is not angry with His people forever. Because God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide. No, will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens above the earth, so great is His steadfast love to those who fear Him. As far as east is from west, so far does He remove our trespasses from us. God is kind. God is loving. Sending His Son into darkness where men will not like to go. Remember the story of Jonah. God says, go into Nineveh. Go in that area of darkness. Go to a people who are different than you. Because those people were not the same of the same nation as Jonah. But Jonah will not go. Okay, I'm glad that this church is actually a church that brings people of all different nations together. Praise the Lord for that. But man doesn't want to go. And the people are so hostile even there for people to come to them. That is what Jesus must be faced with. Going to a people that hates Him. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So the lostness of sinners now becomes Jesus' main attraction to people. The fact that they are lost attracts Jesus to them. So Jesus loves to go. Jesus loves lost men. If He didn't love lost men, you wouldn't be sitting here. So Jesus loves lost men. We need to wake up. We need to see the light. We need to shine the little light out there because Jesus loves the lost. The lostness of sinners comes as Jesus' main interest in His public ministry. It comes as a display of God's heart towards the lost. If you want to know God's heart towards the lost, look at where Jesus is going. He's going to sinners. Look what Jesus does. He dies for sinners. You see God's heart for the lost. He is committed to reaching out to us and bringing us home, where darkness will not be found. In His marvelous home. Friends, this is the light which comes to darkness. This is the light which condemns the darkness. This is the light which stands in conflict with darkness. This is the light that shines in darkness. This is the light that causes men to cling to the old rugged cross. This is the light that causes men to trust in God. The light that causes men to let go of their activities of sin. Are you still keeping your activities of sin? Maybe you have not seen the light. If you have seen the light, this is the light that causes men to let go of their activities of sin. Search your heart. Is there any activity of sin? If there is a light that causes men to let go of the activities of sin. Causes men to follow the Savior. We'll see next week as Jesus calls men to follow Him. Men seeing the light. Men leaving whatever they were doing and following Jesus. Because the light of the world will have to take you where you are, sending you in a direction that you never prepared yourself to go. The light of the world take us to heaven while we were preparing our way to hell. The question is, have you seen that light? Have you considered the possibility of being one sitting in darkness yourself, in the shadow of death? Can you say like the psalmist, even though as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Are you able to speak like that psalmist, my friends? Because the light has dawned. So that we may walk away from darkness to the marvelous light of God. In the same way how Jesus approached these people, He's approaching us this morning to see the light. I know how angry you get when load shedding hits you. When there's no electricity, there is no light. Everyone is angry. People are crying. How am I going to bath? How am I going to go to iron my clothes? How am I going to do? That's what we do when there's no light. In the same way, we should be crying for the light of our souls. Jesus, draw to me. Shine your light in my life. I have some kind of load shedding within me. Shine your light in my heart. Jesus, He begins His ministry and comes as a light that will banish our darkness forever. So how do I take advantage of this light? Thirdly, Jesus begins His ministry because man must turn to God. The very same man in darkness needs the light. And once the light dawns, man must turn to God. Verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is at hand." So the solution of that problem of darkness is set forth in verse 17. How to take advantage of the light? How do I run or jump from darkness into that light? It cannot just happen just because Jesus is around us. It cannot just happen because the word is preached. There is a responsibility of man. Man must turn to God. Man needs to repent. Man needs a change of mind and attitude. Man needs to be reconciled with God. Man needs to reconsider their standing with God. Consider your position with God. Stop running away from God, but run to God. It is clear, my friends, since we look at the context here, it is clear that repentance must be preached to all people. The message of repentance is for all men. John the Baptist, he preached the very same message to a different people in a different location. Remember chapter 3, verse 2. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. John the Baptist was somewhere else preaching the very same message. This is a message that is needed in our time today. The message of repentance. John the Baptist says, stop your hypocrisy. Stop it. Produce or show fruit in keeping with repentance. Show the world that you are now one with Christ. Why will you continue your sin and embarrass the name of Jesus? If you are really being saved, if you have really been taken out of darkness, why will you continue like this? Show fruit in keeping with repentance. He's preaching the same message that the Lord Jesus Christ is preaching. Later on in the book of Acts, Stephen preaches the very same message. He says, God commands men everywhere to repent. God had overlooked the time of ignorance, but now it is the time for men to turn to God. That is the message of the Lord Jesus Christ in those sitting in darkness. Jesus does not come to the people in darkness and give them a motivational speech. He does not give them a 3 points of success, 3 points or 3 ways of overcoming your giants. No, my friends. Turn to God. Repent or burn. That is what Jesus is doing. That is the message. That is the only way man can turn to God. Consider the implications if you do not turn to God. In darkness, that is the message that is necessary to be preached. Not motivational speeches. Jesus is not teaching the people here how to overcome Satan by binding him or rebuking him. No, my friends, turn to God. They are in enmity with God, and that is the reason why they are in darkness. The only way to turn to God is through faith and repentance, my friends. And I am convinced that is the message that is needed in our time today. The message needed in our homes, in our schools. That is the message we need. But unfortunately, there are not enough men who are willing to man up and take a stand and preach this message of truth and preach the message of repentance. Men who will preach the message regardless of the cost. Men who will stand up and say, "Be ye reconciled to God." Not asking you, I'm telling you, be ye reconciled to God. The only way men can turn to God is that men may be reconciled to God. In other words, the command to repent, it comes with a powerful, gracious effect that makes it possible to reach its demands. In other words, what am I saying? The message of repentance comes with the grace of God for you to be able to repent. He gives you the ability to repent this morning. He gives the world the ability to repent. If they may come to Jesus, if they may just believe that Jesus Christ died at the cross for their sins. Friends, the message is clear. Look unto Jesus. Give up on your sin. Turn to God. Jesus' message to the people suggests that the problem is within the heart, and the answer is without us. The answer is outside of us. The solution is outside of us. And until we recognize that truth, we'll never have peace with God. We need to recognize that we must look out for our truth and our answer. It is repentance which will cause the light to expose darkness in our lives. Jesus says there is no other way to come to God. There's no other way to turn to Him but to repent. To repent. To turn. To turn to God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, once the light shines in darkness, it calls for a response. My friend, the light calls for a response. You are responsible. The light enlightens men to know that they are responsible to God. Man is responsible to their maker. You are not responsible to your husband. You are not responsible to your children. You are responsible to God. And if the people will ask, "Why must I repent?" Jesus will say, "Because the kingdom of God is at hand. God's rule and reign has come. There is a kingdom of righteousness to enter into. Repent, for that kingdom has come. And what is remaining now is that kingdom to be consummated. And you don't want to find yourself outside the kingdom of God when Christ returns. Because you'll be thrown into the pit of hell, where there's snitching and grinding of teeth, where the worm dieth not. You don't want to find yourself outside there. Turn to God." That is the message you must carry to the world. That is the message that will make this church grow with people who have come to God. Not people who are looking for entertainment. That is the message we must carry in our hearts. You need to consider the cross and Him who hanged there as your substitute. You need to believe that Jesus Christ came to deliver you. You need to believe that you deserve hell, but Jesus came and removed you from the jaws of hell. Then drank your hell. He took your place. You need to believe that God is holy, and without holiness no one shall see Him. You need to come to Him in total surrender. You need to come to Him in total acknowledgement of your sinfulness. Tell Him how much of a sinner you are. Then ask Him to forgive you, to give you the gift of repentance. "Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Save me." Stretch your hands, O God, that is not shortened to save. Snatch me from the garbage of sin. Hear my cry, O Lord. Open your ear, for it is not dull to hear. I turn to you. I repent. Jesus tells us this morning that the proof of repentance, of genuine conversion, is a personal and a particular thing. What am I saying? You cannot have someone else repenting for you. You cannot repent for someone else. It's personal. So men have a personal responsibility. It requires men to take a personal stand. It requires men to take a stand of faith to repent. Repent. So there has to be a new attitude. within a man. New attitude towards God. New attitude towards sin. There has to be a new relationship established with God. Friends, these people I'm talking about, they have something common with us. A need of a Savior. We all need a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we need a Savior? Simply because our first parents, Adam and Eve, they rebelled against God and they transgressed the law of God. And today, men stand in enmity with God, in darkness, and in hatred of the truth, and in rejection of the light. Verse 15, if you look at verse 15, it speaks of the Galilee of the Gentiles where Jesus went. That is a highlight. It highlights for us the inclusion of Gentiles in the ministry of Jesus. Actually, as we have seen in the genealogy of Jesus. So this message is for us as well. It is obvious, my friends, because all have sinned, as I've said before. So this message says, man everywhere needs to turn to God. If you will believe and turn to God. If you will believe and turn away from your sins. Man must turn to God. Because God demands men to turn to Him. Friends, have you turned to God? Have you come out of darkness? Are you seated with Christ right now? Have you seen the light? Well, let me close by answering this question. In all this that I've just said, what should be the instruction that we carry out from this passage? What should be the instruction? We need to go to those people sitting in darkness under the shadow of death. Because that is our calling as individual believers. That is our calling as a church. We need to go to those areas which might be considered by society as low class areas. That's where Jesus went. To spread the gospel. Where other people of different tribes and cultures than us live. We need to go there. To share the light with them. To help them see the darkness that covers their soul, which consequently leads men to destruction. We need to preach the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to preach the message of repentance. The question is, my friend, are you willing to go to those areas of darkness where people are sitting and enjoying temporal life? Are you willing to point men to the great light, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, so that Jesus may shine His light on them as He did to you? Are you willing to see your brothers and sisters come to faith? That is the message that the light brings. Men must come and see the beauty of God in Christ Jesus. Men must open their eyes and behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So, the beginning of the ministry of Jesus teaches us, one, man is in darkness. Two, Jesus is the light that man needs. Three, men must put it upon themselves to turn to God. May the good Lord bless us as we think of this, as we look into these things. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our God and our King, thank you for your grace this morning. Thank you for the message of salvation. Thank you, Lord, that you saw that there was no one pleasing unto you. You saw that man's heart is full of iniquity, and you drew near to us, O God. You saw that man is in darkness, and you brought your light. You brought the light of the gospel. You came yourself as light to the darkness, so that man may turn to you, O God. Help us as a church, Lord, to preach this very same message. Help us as a church, God, to live in accordance to this message. To live as those who are in the light. Those who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. To shine our little light out there so that people may see our good works and give glory unto you. Be magnified, our God. Be glorified in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. The Church of God says, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Amen.